First Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 and forward. These are some good words for us. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Let me pause it there. If we went any further, we would be here till tomorrow. Al, would you ask a blessing on the message?
Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for bringing us here to hear the message, Lord. We pray that you would open our hearts and our ears to understand the words that your messenger brings to us. And teach us, Lord, to use the words of wisdom that is given to us, that we may benefit ourselves and our loved ones, friends and neighbors. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hope you agree with me that if you belong to Jesus, you're different than when you didn't. I hope you agree with that. If not, we need to talk. Because if Jesus didn't make a difference in you, then I don't know what Jesus you got. It's not the Jesus I got. That's for sure. This verse 9, where we started, has a very interesting connotation. It says that eyes have not seen, nor our ears have heard, neither have entered into our heart of any man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. That's a quote from the Old Testament. It is a truth that you cannot fathom or think, and no one has ever told you what God's going to do for you to bless you. If God made this world in all its beauty, and you can drive anywhere in this area, and you can see the splendor of creation. It's beautiful. And yet, we say God has made that with His hands, but what He is going to do for us
is more marvelous and more wondrous in beauty than that. This will pale in comparison. What we're told over and over again is this world is a shadow of the new world. That the things down here are a copy. They're not the real thing. They're just an image, if you will, made out of physical things, because you cannot copy spiritual things and be physical. You can only make a similarity. When Moses was given the ability to know what the heavenly temple was like, he made a tabernacle which they transported throughout the wilderness. It was a copy of the one in heaven. When they built the bigger temple, Solomon, Herod, the temples that were built were a copy, although great in splendor and huge, were nothing like what's in heaven. Nothing like God's kingdom. When we talk about the covenant that God made with Abraham, I will bless you. Yet he made another covenant better. The blood covenant with Christ's blood. So much better than Abraham's. And yet, what we find is that this world in all its beauty should give us a glimpse, although we cannot fathom, because we are not spiritual by nature. We are spiritual by rebirth. But we're not spiritual by nature to be able to see into the Spirit of God to see what kind of things He has. We get a little taste. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine a world where no one hates anybody, you're never sick, no one dies, you don't need sun or moon because there's all eternal light, and could you imagine everybody has enough and then some, and everybody is happy? Could you imagine that? I can imagine it in moments, and maybe I can think about maybe a few people happy, but millions all happy, all joy. No one wanting what anybody else has. No one hurting anybody ever again. No more tears. No more pain. It's hard to imagine. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has for us. And if that's the case, and if God's kingdom is so much better than this world, then ought we not be living like we're living for that one, rather than like the people who live for this one? I think so. It says, God has revealed these things He has for us by His Spirit. He's revealed them, but not entirely. We know that it's going to be beautiful. We know because we have the Word brought forth to us through the prophets and the epistles, or the apostles who shared it, and the disciples who made it clear to us. But we didn't get the whole thing. We got imagery. Dragons, fire, bowls, scrolls, seals. We don't know what those look like. We have a vision and an understanding, but it's partial. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now I see through a glass darkly. And that means it's like you're looking in a mirror that's dirty. And you're seeing your reflection very hazy. He says, but then I shall see face to face without looking through a dark window. Another way to look at that is one of those bathroom windows is kind of foggy all the time. It's made that way. Well, try to look through that thing and you just can't see real good. And there's a reason for that. Because you don't want anybody to see you in the bathroom. And you don't want to see anybody seeing you in the bathroom. That's why they make those fog glasses. But imagine if that was all taken away and you could peer through and see into God's kingdom. In moments when we live out of our spirit combined with Christ's spirit, we see it. But only a little bit. When we first come to Jesus, we're so overjoyed with love, forgiveness that just won't stop. And we're so happy. For some of us, it's the first tears of joy we've ever cried. And that's a glimpse. That's just a foretaste. Fanny Crosby says, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." In that beautiful song. This is my story. This is my song. Oh, what a foretaste. The Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. We know ourselves because we live in our own skin. But the Spirit of God knows God. The Holy Spirit emanates from the Father. Jesus Christ asked the Father to send us the Holy Spirit, which emanates out of the Father. And it says in Romans, if you look in chapter 8, it says that the Spirit searches and prays and groans the deep things which we don't even know. In a language we don't understand. The Holy Spirit does this. Sometimes we pray and we just hurt so much, all we can do is just groan. And when we're really in travail and we're hurting, all we can do is just travail before the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, oh Lord." And the Holy Spirit's in that. In the deep things of that. And it goes directly to God's Spirit and brings forth comfort. That's what its job is. So the Holy Spirit does that. And it says in verse 12, and please don't miss this, we have received not the spirit of this world, which thinks this world is a good thing to have, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit's job is not just one thing. It's also here to tell us that this world isn't so great. As beautiful and as wonderful as it isn't going to last. Well, people fight in the Middle East over temple land, Jerusalem, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and this stuff isn't going to last, but they'll give their life for something that will not remain. I don't know about you, but I prefer to give my life for something that's eternal. I don't have a whole lot of dogs in those fights in the Middle East. I don't have a whole lot of dogs in the fights on the stuff in this country, unless it pertains to Jesus Christ and bringing forth the gospel. Then I have all my dogs in that fight. But we fight over stupid stuff. Over whether someone said the right thing or did the right thing, made the right deal or made the wrong deal, treated us right or treated us wrong, and none of that ever lasts. When we get the Spirit of God, we begin to think about heavenly rewards and do not jeopardize them by our lack of participation in heavenly ways of living. Let me ask you this. Now, this is pretty sad. True story. Two men got into a fight over a quarter. Whose it was? One man got so mad he pulled a knife on the other guy and stabbed the other man. The man died. Over a quarter
because he was angry and he wanted to be right. What about us? Does the Spirit of God say we can let go of things that are bigger than a quarter to us? Truly, what's left of this world after it's done with isn't going to be worth a quarter. No matter how much value we put on it. We spend $30,000 on a big new car now, and in 15 years it's going to be a piece of block of metal worth $100 in scrap. All that's left of it. But it's the same metal. So why is it not worth as much then? Because value is given by this world to this world's stuff. And value is given to God's kingdom stuff by God. And if we have that spirit, then we value the things of God's kingdom. And we pattern our lives after what we're becoming, not what we were born into. We change. And these things, says Paul, we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you're a spiritual person, then you don't talk about your life on earth terms. You talk about it on heavenly terms. Have I loved well? Have I been generous? Have I been forgiving? Have I been caring and compassionate? Have I been faithful? Have I been joyous? Have I been praising and thanking God? These are the things that we compare ourselves with. Or do we compare ourselves with, I've been thrifty in business, I went and I forged my way through the business world, I made deals that brought my family wealth and prosperity, and in this world I've become a success. Jesus says, better to lose all the world and gain your soul than to gain the whole world and lose your soul. We've been comparing success, and it really perturbs me when an evangelist on TV will say, God will bless you with prosperity. All you have to do is trust Him and you'll have money. What? I don't know about you, but in my understanding, money is not spiritual. Is it? Is money spiritual? Is this the prosperity that we really want from God? Is Him to bless us with money and we die? Maybe we'll tear down our little barns and build bigger barns and still be dead. What good is that? I can't find a whole lot of good in comparing spiritual with earthly things. Can't do it because the blessings of God are clear in joy, steadfastness, love, long-suffering, patience. You cannot buy any of them. Can I have $100 of patience, please? I'm going to go to Tim's store here, and I'm going to buy $100 worth of kindness. I don't know about you, but kindness to me is worth a lot more than $100. Kindness to me is worth everything. But are we willing to give everything to have it? Are we willing to give everything to be long-suffering? Are we willing to sacrifice it all to be loving people? Are we willing to lose the shirt off our back and go a second mile to show Christ we love Him? It's a good question, isn't it? Is it about the shirt or is it about love? Is it about what we own or who owns us? What is our master? Who is our guide? Who is our teacher? This is verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. You can live by the world's principles and its version of success, and you'll drive the most comfortable, safest Auto Trends pick of the year, Motor Trends, Car and Driver's best vehicle. You'll drive that and say, well, I could have gotten a lesser model and helped my children, but I deserve comfort in this world. Scripture never says that. In Hebrews 11 it says that the people of God would rather suffer in this world than live for that one. They'd rather do without here because this world isn't good enough. If you think this world's comfort and all that it provides is worth what it costs, trust me, in 100 years, you'll not remember it. I think air conditioning is great, but you know what? After I've had air conditioning today, I'm going to need it tomorrow. Today's air conditioning won't fix tomorrow's hot. Did you know that? We always got to have more. With God, it's enough. Grace is enough. Mercy and compassion, when you have it within you, it's enough. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to keep going back to the well. It comes out of you. Lifetime supply. It's always there. 100 years ago, we didn't have air conditioning. You know that? 40 years ago, we didn't have much. We had some. But 60 years ago, in the 40s, come on now. Did it get hot in Mississippi in the 40s? Or did it just now start getting hot? We needed air conditioning now.
Hot in the field, you could see them little, they call them little devils coming in.
That's right. That's right. You think about it for a minute. We have become a people of comfort and luxury in this world. We have. Is that to our credit? Or would it have been better that we never would have started this cycle? And instead said, you know, all this extra income I would have used on electric, higher bills and more comfort, I can give to homeless people. Provide them a home. Just a thought. Again, the natural man cannot receive things that are the Spirit of God. What we think in the natural man is, well, if I did that, then I'd sweat. I'd have to take a lot of baths. People think I stink. You would stink. But you're not going to be around a whole lot of people if you don't have air conditioning. Because they won't want to come over. And you'll learn what the swimming hole's for. Cool you down. That's how they used to do it. But the spiritual things are foolish to a natural man. They go, you don't understand. I got to have these things to survive. We now have to have air conditioning to survive. We have to. Just, that's the golden rule. Thou shalt have air conditioning in the summer in Mississippi and Alabama. Just as hot here as it is in wood air. It's in my hallway. It's true, that's what we think. We think, I gotta have air conditioning. I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is that our primary concern is that we're cool. Or are we more concerned with the people who are dying of heat exhaustion? What are we more concerned with? What is the most important thing to us? But we cannot discern what God's Spirit wants us to do until we begin to live in it.
For if you're spiritual, you begin to discern things. God's Spirit begins to teach you. And it discerns you. Now, in King James, it says either judges or discerneth. And what it means is the Spirit discerns your heart. It shows you your true nature and what your task is. And the judging there doesn't mean you're found guilty. It means you're found needing to do something. The Holy Spirit's job is to motivate you. And Paul tells the church at Corinth that he gave them milk because they weren't able. And this is his proof. And don't miss this. If you have envy and strife and division and you can't get along with one another, you're acting carnal. That's why I say it goes along with this morning's message, because this morning's message says there's only two types of people. Those that need Jesus and know it, and those that need Jesus and don't know it. If there's any division, it's only because some people don't know it, that they need Jesus. Everything else is from this world, not the Spirit of God. You look at those wars in the Middle East. The Islamic people say they're taking our land. Well, if God wants them to have the land, He'll provide a way. They don't have to kill people and say they're different, because they're not. They are not different. Nobody is different from anybody else except for they know they need Jesus or they don't know. And folks, if we have anything in our life that causes divisions in ourselves or with anybody else, it's not from God. It's from thinking like this world thinks. And we've followed this world long enough. And if we as believers can get on the bandwagon of Jesus Christ, if you will, and start living for that kingdom, that stuff will end. It's true. It's His promise. And that's the message for tonight. Any comments, questions, thoughts, ideas?